Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systema Full Year 2013 Financial Results Call on the 3rd of April 2014. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After hearing the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systema. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms or other similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systema and its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Evgeny Chikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss our 2013 annual results. On the conference call line today, you have Mikhail Shamonin, our President and CEO, Sevalid Rozanov, Senior Vice President and CFO, and myself, Evgeny Chukov, Head of Investor Relations at Systema. You can find a presentation accompanying our results on our website at systema.ru. I will now hand over the call to Mikhail for his comments.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us to discuss Systema's fourth quarter and full year 2013 results. We are pleased to report excellent results after another strong year. The group's revenues exceeded 1.1 trillion rubles. Our adjusted OIBDA increased 5.8% year on year to $8.9 billion, and our net income has jumped 138.6% to $2.3 billion. 2013 has been an exceptional year of achievement for Systema, and it is worth recapping key highlights as they have built a strong foundation upon which we plan to make further progress in 2014. In the last 12 months, we continued to instill operational excellence across our portfolio holdings. As promised this time last year, we ended 2013 with 10 out of 11 companies with positive OIBDA and 8 out of 11 companies delivering net income. This is the strongest ever profitability we have seen in our portfolio, and it's consistent trend since 2011, when only 42% of the companies were profitable versus 79% by the end of 2013. In line with our guidance, we had 6 dividend-paying companies last year and expect 9 companies paying dividends this year. In this context, our core holdings, MTS and Bashneft, continue to show strong performance, and they are supported by excellent growth at Detski Mir, MTS Bank, and Metsi. At Detski Mir, revenues grew 26.7%, or 3 times above sector growth, with OIBDA increasing by 60.3% to $87 million. The retailer expanded its store network substantially and continued to implement a range of efficiency and product initiatives to improve its margins to 8%. Similarly, Metsi has delivered 41.3% growth in revenue and 60.1% growth in OIBDA, reflecting 15.2% growth in services and 20.8% growth in visits. Operations at MTS Bank have expanded rapidly throughout 2013. The bank has seen a 40% increase in retail operations and 140% growth in loan portfolio from joint project with MTS, which resulted in interest income from retail and corporate transactions increased by 27.2% to $732 million. Notably, we had an excellent first year at SG Trans. the company reported revenues over 20 billion rubles and OIBDA of 6 billion rubles. Their margins rose to 30% as the company wisely took advantage of low spot rates to rent additional rail cars to facilitate volume commitments. This year, SG Trans plans to pay a maiden dividend. 2013 was also a key year where we resolved long-standing issues with SSTL, transforming the company into a more focused data player in India. We cut down the number of circles, and as a result, have more than half our OIBDA loss for 2013. We spent $300 million financing the company's operation. That's $100 million less than we guided, and plan to spend approximately $250 million this year. Our strategy of repaying $450 million of debt has reduced the burden of interest payments by 31%. In 2013, we promised a sharper operational focus across all holdings, greater strategic insight and resolution of any lingering issues, and it is exactly what we delivered. A cornerstone of our strategy is to generate substantial cash flows to the holding level in order to reinvest some of them into new and exciting projects, existing projects, and increase our dividend payments to shareholders. In 2013, we generated a record $3.2 billion of cash as a result of increased subsidiary dividends, cashback from SG Trans restructuring, and disposal of our interest in Rusneft. That transaction secured over tenfold return on our investment. This is an example of those transformation deals which this group can secure, and also our intent to lock profits on any given investment. On the M&A front, we executed several attractive deals. We acquired Bashnet Services assets and United Petrochemical on Bashnet and NGTS property assets from MTS. These deals are designed to unlock value within these businesses, which previously was hidden within their respective parent structures. These acquisitions were completed towards the end of last year, and some of their initial results can be found on slide 6 of our presentation. Important restructuring efforts continued at Bashnet as well, with the announcement in Q4 that Sistema and Bashnet intend to simplify Sistema Invest ownership. This process will end in coming weeks and deliver on a long-standing pledge to shareholders to eliminate the cross-ownership structure. Our momentum continued in the first 3 months of 2014. We are in active discussions on several deals. Some are new investments in new sectors. Others are monetization opportunities, which we hope to announce very shortly. These are mid-sized deals which will complement existing investments, provide us a platform into new cash flow generating segments of the market, or create a classic restructuring opportunities which Sistema is well known for. Our M&A strategy remains very focused on Russia, patient and diligent, scientific, but also at times opportunistic. This, we are convinced, will result in quality over quantity and greater shareholder value. We have realistic and clearly defined plans for this year. We believe that through a combination of dividends and monetizations, we will deliver another strong cash flow to the holding level. Majority of these plans are not tied to capital markets and are resilient to macroeconomic factors. As such, we anticipate continued strong operational growth across our key assets and expanding subsidiary dividend stream both in absolute terms and in numbers of companies contributing to it. We have also non-IPO monetization plans. We should deliver in excess of $500 million of cash to the holding level and IPO plans which may materialize markets permitting. All of this means that not only we are on track to recommend the record dividend payment in April, but have a clear strategy to maintain dividend growth beyond this year. Our performance was well reflected in our stock appreciation in 2013. However, recent weakness we feel is unjustified. All our plans are intact, and with strongest ever financial position, clear motivational goals, and a resilient and diversified portfolio, Sistema is well placed to deliver further shareholder value this year. I will now turn the call over to Vsevolod Rozanov to discuss our financials in more detail.
Thank you, Mikhail. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. We have reported excellent financial results this morning, reflecting operational success at daughter company level and our successful strategy to generate greater cash flows to the corporate center. In Q4, we generated 6.7% increase in revenues compared to the previous quarter. This was largely driven by growth at MTS and seasonal closure of contracts in RTI, as well as stronger revenues at other assets throughout the group, including Detski Mir, MTS Bank, and the BKBC. The growth in the group's revenues in 2013 compared to 2012 was 5.9% in dollar terms and 8.4% in ruble terms. The group's adjusted EBITDA for the year grew by 5.8% due to the operating growth in most portfolio assets, including MTS, Detski Mir, BPGC, Interest, and NETSI. Deduction of operating losses at SSSTL contributed $187 million into the group's growth in 2013. Key highlight of the year was the $3 billion of cash flow we generated to the corporate center. This is the highest ever amount received and is testament to our active portfolio management. $1.5 billion was received from subsidiary dividends. $1 billion was received as a result of Rusnet sale, net of tax, and $418 million from recouping our initial acquisition costs from SG Trans. Throughout 2013, we continued to manage our financial risks, balancing currencies in our debt portfolio with currencies in our revenues and limiting maximum ratio of debt with floating rates. The group's total debt decreased by 15% in 2013. Our debt-to-EBITDA ratio is below 1.5 times. 67% of the group's debt is ruble-denominated, and less than 15% of the debt is with floating rates. As of the end of 2013, the corporate center total debt amounted to $1.6 billion, remaining at the same level as at the end of the previous quarter. The debt at the holding level is largely public and mainly consists of the ruble bonds as well as the euro bonds denominated in dollars. The share of dollar debt is 34%, which is a comfortable ratio for us. Payments on euro bonds are scheduled to be made twice a year with total repayment only in 2019 and are hedged with a sufficient amount of foreign currency liquidity. We expect to repay approximately $570 million of our ruble bonds in 2014, as per our schedule. At the end of 2013, we accumulated approximately $1.3 billion in cash and liquid financial instruments. The cash and deposits altogether amount to $600 million. The group's cash management is centralized at the corporate holding level and based on the approach of cash allocation limits set according to the robust and conservative bank rating methodology. The group's portfolio of highly liquid investments is managed by specialized asset management companies. We expect 9 of our subsidiaries to pay dividends in 2014, and financing committed to SSTL operations will, as we have announced earlier, be around $250 million. The group's annual SG&A growth resulted mostly from the commercial expansion of MTS, more aggressive marketing policy in Detski Mir, and the reorganization program in RTI. The corporate center annual selling general and administrative expenses year on year also increased to $349 million, partly due to the non-cash accruals related to the long-term share-based motivation program for Sistema employees, which was valued based on the Sistema share market prices at the grant date in the second half of 2013. Furthermore, in the third quarter of 2013, Sistema paid share-based one-time bonuses to the top managers for the exit transactions. This information was disclosed in our website. In 2013, the group's capex decreased year-on-year by 4.7% to the $4 billion US dollars due to the reduced cash capital expenditures at MTS and SSTO. In 2013, the group spent $299 million on increasing its share in subsidiaries, including $140 million paid to Sberbank for the stake in Detski Mir and $120 million paid for MTS shares. The group's free cash flow increased from $1.7 billion in 2012 to $2.8 billion in 2013. Overall, I am pleased to report that we have entered 2014 in strongest possible financial shape. In current volatile markets, this is the clear strength of our investment case. We have a diverse portfolio, well-balanced between domestic and foreign currency, set of companies in defensive industries able to maintain growth, even in volatile markets, and low gearing across the portfolio and holding level. Over 70% of our portfolio and holding costs and revenues are in rubles, which substantially limits any downside risk of ruble devaluation. You can find our financial results, both as a group as well as by individual company, in more details in our presentation and press release, which have been published on our website. I would like to thank you for your attention and hand the call over to Evgeny.
Thank you, Vsevolod. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press star 2. There will be a short pause while participants register for questions. Thank you. The first question today comes from Ivan Kim of VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, please. One is basically on the chances for Bashnia FTSPO and Detskimira IPO to go through this year. This will obviously depend on the market conditions, which are adverse now. But even if markets improve, there might be a valuation level which would be a threshold for you and below which you wouldn't be willing to sell. So if you could deliberate on that, would be great. And then secondly, on spectrum situation in India and your chances to get that 1.25 megahertz block. What's the latest on that? Also the rumors and, you know, any kind of consolidation or deals in India have died down. Is there any particular reason for that? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for questions. On the chances of Bashneft and Detskimira IPOs, I mean, clearly, as you correctly pointed out, they are very much subject to macroeconomic conditions and the political environment, which dictates those conditions nowadays. Both assets are in very good shape and are basically IPO ready. I think Bashneft is a bit more distant in decision making, because I think the earliest we may think of an IPO is somewhere in autumn, October, November, so we still have time to see how markets react. On Detskimir, it would make sense to do an IPO sooner. Typically, retailers do it in spring session. Very difficult to predict. You know, we've seen markets go down dramatically on the back of Crimea situation, and now we see those markets coming back. We don't know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, so I guess we'll have to wait for at least another month or so to understand better how the situation is going to be developing. We're also looking at a number of private investors, private placements into Detskimir, and we have a number of proposals from private equity funds to buy stakes in Detski as sort of a pre-IPO investment. So we're basically in discussions. On one hand, we're not under pressure to sell, because we do have cash, and our position cash-wise is pretty strong. On the other hand, we view those IPOs not only as monetization of assets, but also as move to further enhance the transparency and corporate culture, corporate management of the business. So we'll just have to wait and see. We are not taking those IPOs completely off the table, but also we cannot promise that we're going to do them under any circumstances. Very much a subject to how things will be developing in the market. And on India, I will revert to Stelo Trozunov, who has more inside knowledge about this.
Thank you, Mikhail. Still, there is this trail of India behind me. On the spectrum, chances to increase spectrum holding in India, current situation is very simple. There is a discussion between the regulator TRAI and the minister in the Ministry of Telecommunications on how this 800 spectrum should be allocated. The latest is that Telecom Commission should meet and discuss the recent proposal of TRAI. I don't see the risk of 1.25 MHz spectrum being unavailable. Rather, the question is about what price and what condition, overall conditions would be there for the spectrum allocation. And on the consolidation, I think the situation is pretty simple. As you might be aware, the elections in India will happen already starts happening in April and May, and the results will be clear by mid-May, by May 16th, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that until there is a clarity on the new government and the new government vision on the industrial sector as a part of it, unlikely there are going to be any major activities in that area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Alex Pazvegi of Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Sorry, Sevalot, I have to tag along with the Indian question still. I'm just wondering, I mean, your EBITDA, if you look at the run rate of the reduction of the loss of the on the EBITDA level, I think it was 35 in Q3, 33 in Q4. If this is the run rate we should be basically looking into the 2014, are you still comfortable with the view that you will be EBITDA break-even in 2015? Or rather, I could twist the question differently and say, what would make, so to say, SSTL to become EBITDA positive in 2015? Just organically can happen, or do you really need to see any M&A type, so to say, steps in that? My second question would be, I think in your press release you mentioned several mid-sized deals to happen sometime shortly. I was wondering if you can put a, so to say, price tag to what you mean by mid-sized deal. Is it something below, let's say, $500 million each, or how do we look at those mid-sized deals? And maybe not take too much time, just to continue the same topic, and with now full acquisition of the real estate assets from MTS, do you have an idea how much additional investment it will require from your side to bring it to the state where you can either rent it out or sell, and what will be the strategy then generally, so to say? Is it commercial rentals, or is it basically prepared to sale? What's the perspective of that asset? Thank you.
Apologies, everyone. We got disconnected. I'll hand over back to Mikhail.
Okay, we will revert back to the last question on MGTS on India and the mid-sized deals.
Okay, so let me start with the India situation, India EBITDA. We confirmed that we aim to reach positive EBITDA in India in SSTL in the first half of 2015. We believe that the business is now well on track to reach this number. We believe that every quarter OEBDA loss will decrease. Key cost reduction initiatives following the decrease of number of circles and hence decrease in headquarter headcount and the decrease in number of towers and other equipment was already exercised in 2013, and the growth of revenue and the growth of the business size, and hence positive EBITDA, would come from the increase of revenue first and foremost in our data products. So this is on India, and I pass the word to Mikhail. Thank you.
Yes, again, on size of deals, we're looking at around 300 million US and below. That's what we have in the pipeline per deal. And MGTS plans on real estate two companies, MGTS or Business Division Estrada, which is focused on the rental model, and the Leader Invest, which is focused on pure development model. $300 million invested in both, 150 each. No new investment expected.
Around 10 projects will be in development for Leader Invest, and around 150 buildings in operation for Business Nevizhimost, with a positive EBITDA this year. Self-financing, no recourse on Sistema, project financing, partial sale of existing buildings. In other words, no new investment from Sistema in those two, and expected positive EBITDA, positive cash flow, and value growth. We consider this to be already quite a successful and promising investment.
Operator, do we have any more questions?
Thank you. We'll go back to our question from Polina Ukromova. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I think my question has been answered.
Okay, we'll move to our next question. Once again, from Alex Balakhnin. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. One is on Stronix. I see in the press release you spin off some assets from there into Citronix, and now you own this this asset directly. So I was wondering, what is the nature of this asset spinned off, and why do you want them to be on your own balance sheet? Like, what are your plans regarding those assets? My second question is, given the macro uncertainties and headwinds arising, and you have a very healthy balance sheet, I was wondering, like, what would be your mix of investments for the next 12 months, say, if you can break them down into investing in distressed assets, like opportunistically, then building presence in the industries where you already operate, and lastly, just making investments as usual. Like, what would be the shares of such investments in the current circumstances? Thank you.
On Citronix, the new Citronix, so-called new Citronix, basically consists of two businesses inside it. One is called Citronix Casu, which is a systems integrator focused on security segment of integration business. And the biggest project that Citronix Casu is implementing is a so-called Safe City project for Moscow City government, installing traffic cameras, smart traffic lights, traffic management systems, video cameras, video surveillance, and this is a profitable company. Another asset in this portfolio of Citronix New is called NIS, which is Navigation Information Services, and this is a company which was built and designed to provide business and telematics. This is an innovative type of business. Has not broken even yet. Has a negative result of I think around $20 million for 2013. Not a big deal from the Sistema kind of overall size, but a company which we believe has potential to do basically two things. One, it is a contender in the large project to collect payments from large trucks, 12 tons and more, across the whole territory of Russia. And if it wins this project, it will be a significant chunk of business in this NIS company. And second, they created a number of joint ventures with regional municipalities to track municipal transport, things like ambulances, buses, garbage trucks, and so on and so forth. And we believe also this project has good potential. For NIS GLONASS, the plan for this year is to be profitable without the truck collection business. With truck collection business, it will move on to a different level. So basically, the whole point of separating this business from RTI was that it didn't really have a synergy with RTI, and we're trying to make an RTI a very clean, dividend-generating, cash flow-positive business with low debt, so we can develop RTI primarily on the defense side, and there are a number of indications that we can actually do some interesting defense strategy, and we want to kind of separate it from other businesses. That's as far as Citronix is concerned.
And as far as types of investment, I mean, we really don't disclose our kind of intentions, just not to mislead people. I can only say that in current businesses, we plan to further expand our investments in METSI, because we believe that this is a very high potential growth area in Russia. We have started building a large 25,000 square meter new clinic downtown Moscow, already built a foundation for it, and the construction of the main building will be completed this year, and it will be in operation sort of end of Q1, Q2 perhaps in 2015, and we will launch another four large construction projects for new clinics and hospitals for METSI this year. We'll probably continue with our investments in agriculture. We believe it's a high potential business, export oriented, with revenue primarily currency related, currency revenue. We may be looking at some acquisitions in the railroad transportation area. We see that the current environment in the transportation sector stimulates consolidation, and we're waiting for the right point in time to move in and to move ahead and get it done. We're planning some additional investments in our oil services businesses business, which we spun off Kvashniev last year, and also in the petrochemical business, but those are rather small amounts, mostly will be debt financing. And a pipeline of projects which I don't think we can really disclose at this point.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Igor Semenov of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Igor Semenov, please go ahead. Please ensure that you can
hear me. Yeah, hello. Hi. Yeah, can you hear me? Thanks very much. Yeah, sorry, can you just repeat when the Xi'an is going to be EBITDA positive? Is that this year, first half next year? I missed that. And secondly, on the real estate business, did I understand correctly that none of the two units, the Lira Invest and MGTS's real estate unit, do not require additional investments? Is it, you mean from Sistema or at all? I'm not quite clear. I mean, my understanding was that there needs to be a lot of redevelopment done, and this is one of the reasons why MTS sort of spun them out at the valuation that was agreed. They didn't want to get involved into investing their own money to renovate the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Again, total size of investment that we counted in those two units is around 300 million, and I think at this point we invested 225, so it will be another probably 75 of cash going down this road, but not significantly more. Maybe, you know, another 10 or 20 million, but we're within those kinds of numbers. And the rest of it is self-financing, partially from selling part of the property that they have, attracting partners into particular projects, attracting project finance without recourse into Sistema, and so on and so forth. So no significant money coming from Sistema into those.
George? Igor, and just to add to that, you can actually see on slide 11 of our presentation that in the last quarter of last year, we've invested certain amounts into Lead Invest. So that kind of, that's why some of that money has already gone.
Yeah, and the whole kind of logic behind why MTS decided to sell it and why we decided to buy it, because actually the telephone stations themselves, the absolute telephone stations, they do not hold a significant value, because you can't really turn a telephone station into a profitable business right away. Because first of all, those telephone stations, they don't even own the land on which they stand. And so you can't tear it down and build an apartment block in its place, because the city wouldn't allow it.
So basically, it takes a lot of skill and effort to agree with the city, get permits, and those permits are very different. In some places, you can only build hotels. In some places, you can only build apartments. Not apartments in which you can register. I mean, there are two different types of apartments. People know in Moscow, you know, like Moscow City is built out of apartments where you cannot register, and that's a different category in the market. Some of them are, you know, business office buildings, and so on and so forth. So it's a deliberate effort that MTS and MGTS are not qualified to do. So for them, it's easier to offload this portfolio to someone who can, and this is us. So that's the logic behind it.
As for this is still break-even, it's first half 2015.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question on the call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question now comes from Ivan Promushin of Gazprombank. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for the presentation. My question is, how do you see the distribution of dividends from your portfolio companies this year and in the medium term, I mean between final and interim dividends, and whether we should expect interim dividends on a regular basis from your portfolio companies and maybe from system in turn? Thank you.
Yes. On the distribution of the dividends throughout the year, I think the question is that the final decision has still not been made. I would expect that the actual distribution will happen towards the end of the year, right? Because the first dividend payment will be dependent on the 2016 results, and will come very shortly, within 1 month or so. The second amount of the second payment would be, and I would explain later what would be the difference between MTS and Bashnev, but if it comes, it will be dependent also on the first half 2014. Speaking about the regularity of the interim dividends, MTS made already a dividend policy which assumes interim dividends. So you should definitely expect dividends from MTS come two times a year. As for the Bashneft, Bashneft didn't make the formal, didn't announce their formal dividend policy yet. So until the formal dividend policy is announced, it will be the basically a situation-based decision. Thank you. Did I answer your question, or should I specify?
Perhaps yes, but problem, maybe if you can give more color maybe of this year situation, maybe so whether you expect the bulk of the dividends coming maybe in the first in the middle of the year or more towards the end of the year.
Yes, point number one, we're not changing the dividend policy. We're not changing or we have no intention to change substantially size of dividends paid by both companies. We still expect dividends to be relatively high, right? And no kind of, no surprises, no major changes there. We don't have a psychology of, okay, we have, you know, something weird happening in the market, and that's why we're now going to cut the dividends. This is not happening. Everything goes as normal. You should expect a normal, reasonable behavior from us, as you've seen a few years in a row. And even potential increase of dividends compared to last year. So everything is good there. In terms of exact sequence and exact size, we don't want to give this guidance right now because we have not decided ourselves yet. And it is likely that there will be two kind of tranches of dividends from both MTS and Bashnev, but that's not that's the intention. That's not a promise.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We now have a follow-up question from Alex Balakhnin of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon again. I just wanted to probably fine-tune my expectations on the dividends for 2013 by Sistema and try to just start with your official dividend policy of 10% of net income and 10% of proceeds, which gives something like $350 million of potential dividends. Is this the number you may have in your mind, or you think about probably somewhat higher dividends, basically paying something on top of your of what your dividend policy suggests, or you would probably prefer to keep the cash in hand, given that the current times give you the opportunity to make worthwhile investments? Just if you could share your thoughts on the return cash to shareholders versus making investments right now. Thank you.
What we try to do in Sistema sort of already 3 years in a row is stick to our promises. We said last year, and actually even previous year, that we want to establish a consistent progressive dividend record, and we said that this year the dividends will be substantially higher than last year, and they will be indeed substantially higher than the $350 million number that you mentioned, based on a direct calculation from our dividend policy. I cannot specify the exact number because we haven't proposed it to the board yet. The board has approved it, but we have an intention to propose a significant increase over the $350 million that was there, and we stick to this promise, regardless of what is happening in the market right now. Now, we have enough cash for all the investment projects that we envisage, and we have basically a good debt capacity out there. Our debt to EBITDA ratio is around 1.5 right now. So, you know, if you take all our assets on a consolidated basis, so we see no issue if we have to raise financing for some highly attractive project. So we're well balanced. We are on track with our dividends, and we have no worries.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. That will conclude today's Q&A session. I will now hand the call back to Mr. Chekhov for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Take care. Goodbye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.